The needs of the world are too great, the suffering and pain too extensive, the lures of the world too seductive for us to begin to change the world unless we are changed, unless conversion of life and morals become our pattern. The status quo is too alluring. William Willimon, Bread and Wine. In his passion to set in order a shattered and fragmented world, God broke open his heart in love. God sent Jesus Christ into the pain and suffering of this fallen world so that we might live into the delight of his divine life and love. The love between God the Father and the Son is now our invitation to be gathered in the Spirit to share in that love. He loves us fully and completely in Christ. As Francis Thompson's poem, The Hound of Heaven, says, "Though we run from him, God is the unrelenting Hound of Heaven, pursuing us and inviting us to experience his love, which existed before all other earthly loves." Henry Nouwen describes this first love well. The spiritual life starts at the place where you can hear God's voice, where somehow you can claim that long before your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your school, your church touched you, loved you, and wounded you, long before that you were held safe in an eternal embrace. You were seen with eyes of perfect love long before you entered into a dark valley of life. The spiritual life starts at the moment you can go beyond all the wounds and claim that there was a love that was perfect and unlimited, long before that perfect love reflected in the imperfect and limited, conditional love of people. The spiritual life starts where you dare to claim the first love. Characteristics of Stage 1. In this first stage of the soul, the encounter with God's perfect love in Jesus Christ is one that invites us to a radical change of mind, heart, body, and soul. God's singular focus is to make us like Jesus Christ and to be in relationship with him. His love is unconditionally offered to us, but there must be a releasing of the rule of our own lives in order to surrender and receive his love. Nicodemus was a man of excellent moral standing and religious credentials, being a Pharisee and member of the Sanhedrin. He arrived in the cover of night, honestly seeking. Nicodemus's fine religious credentials did not impress Jesus, nor did the earnest intentions of his heart. Jesus simply tells Nicodemus that he must be born again, using the metaphor of birth to illustrate that being redeemed is so radical it is like being born all over again. We are powerless to save ourselves. Like Paul, we affirm, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Romans 7:15-18. Jesus came to restore our broken and fragmented souls. He came to heal all the ways that sin has ruined us. In Jesus' inaugural address in the temple, he stood up and read from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Luke 4:18-19. As soon as Jesus spoke, people noticed an unusual authority and vibrancy evident in every word. Then the moment came. "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Luke 4:21. The promise of God to his people is realized in the very presence of Jesus. God flings open the prison doors of sin in our souls that have confined us and invites us to live a life fully in his presence. Tim Keller, author and pastor, describes sin as looking to something else besides God for your salvation. It is putting yourself in the place of God, becoming your own Savior and Lord. Jesus wants to set us free from our own sinful self-rule, but also from rejection.